Hi everyone, I'm Maddie Heim and welcome to Inside Winona. This week we're going to be chatting with Amy Jo Marks, the owner of Blooming Grounds. Amy Jo has been operating the popular downtown coffee house since 2003 and its express location on Huff Street since 2017. She serves on the city's planning commission and also volunteers with Habitat for Humanity. Amy Jo grew up in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, and she came to Winona for college. She is a former curler, former competitive figure skater, and current mom of 19 years. All right, Amy Jo, thanks so much for being here. How are you?
Good. Coming off a busy week and some crazy weather.
Yep. As always here in Winona, I'm sure that's
right.
Not a surprise. But all right, we're going to jump right into it with a little bit of a fun question. If the city of Winona were a coffee drink based on its personality, what would it be and why?
I love this question, by the way. I think that Winona would be a spicy chai latte. I think that the community has these great spicy qualities to it with all the arts and entertainment. And I love a nice creamy cinnamony chai latte. So it's kind of warm and inviting also. So I think it just kind of accumulates into this great community of spicy, warm, and inviting.
That is a fantastic answer. I was thinking about like what I would think, and I tend to agree.
Yeah.
That's a good, yeah, absolutely. All right, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you launched Blooming Grounds in 2003.
Yeah, so okay. September 1st, 2003.
Gotcha. So when you first launched it, what was your dream for how you pictured it would be, and does it match up to that picture now?
I'll answer, it does not match up to what I originally imagined, which isn't a bad thing. My original dream actually came out of my love of baking. And so I pictured more of like selling coffee and treats. Mm-hmm. Quickly I learned after I opened, we did offer a few sandwiches and items like that, not a lot. I learned being downtown Winona with all the banks and businesses and office buildings that there was this huge lunch crowd. So I ended up kind of evolving into being this lunch hotspot and expanding the menu kind of slowly over the years to, meet that need within the downtown area.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so I think it's been a little bit over 5 years now since the fire that had damaged
yeah.
the downtown building. And I know that must have been really hard to come back from, but did that change your perspective at all on, you know, the direction that the coffee shop was going at all, or what
yeah.
you want it to be?
Sure. It's kind of crazy because it all happened so fast, obviously, and mm-hmm. we weren't obviously expecting this fire and all of that to happen. And
right.
we had such a long period of time to think about it because the fire happened in like September of 2013, I think. Yeah. And we couldn't get into like redoing the inside of our shop until January per the insurance company. So we had all these months to kind of like figure out like, what are we going to do? What do I want to do? And like, depending on the day, sometimes it was like, maybe I should just be done with the coffee shop, to like, oh, let's expand the coffee shop. And so it was kind of all over the map for a while. And we had pretty things, this boutique next door to us that I was part owner in with my mother-in-law. And we had slowly like crept tables in over there for additional seating that was necessary. And so Blooming Grounds at that time, after being in business 10 years, had been kind of busting at the seams in the space that we had originally started with. So it slowly just became pretty evident that the best plan and idea would be to expand over into that space and do all of Blooming Grounds over there and not do pretty things anymore. Only because we just didn't have enough time to put into the boutique part of it because we both had our own other businesses to run. So then with that, it became this like, okay, now we have more rent to pay. What are we going to do to expand our offerings in order to create and generate enough money to pay this additional rent? So, you know, I had this great employee that worked for me at the time, Cherie. She had been with me for like 5 years and started off at St. Mary's and then graduated from St. Mary's. She was from New Zealand and lived with us as well for a couple years. And so she helped me kind of like come up with these ideas. So we decided, you know, we'd want to offer some live music. We'd want to have wine and beer because we were going to be open later. We had been open till 7. And in those first 10 years that I was open, honestly, there wasn't a lot going on in downtown after 5 o'clock. Pretty much people got done with work, they jumped in their cars and they went home. And so being open till 7, we really saw a drop off between 5 and 7. So it was, we were kind of taking a little bit of a risk, you know, deciding to be open till 10. But I think offering the wine and the beer, and then we added pizzas and appetizers to the menu to kind of cultivate this kind of like evening hangout place, you know, in addition to the breakfast and lunch offerings that we already had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as someone who has enjoyed a glass of wine at Blooming Grounds in the evening, I think that's, yeah, I'm sure you've seen a lot of popularity with that.
It is, and this week I stopped in at like 6:30 one night, and it was so fun to see people at board games out at some tables. Some people were playing cards and had a bottle of wine, and it just warms my heart to think that, like, they choose this spot, you know. It felt like a big living room, you know, like of people connected and not necessarily connected, all hanging out together, kind of enjoying themselves. So mm-hmm. It's neat.
Yeah, yeah, that's really cool. And that actually leads right into my next question, which is, you know, there's so much more than coffee going on at Blooming Grounds. You know, there's food, there's live music, and even I was there when Tina Smith stopped by.
Yeah.
Have other politicians came and stopped by?
You know, years ago, there was somebody, and I honestly, he didn't win. I can't even remember who it was. My son was 8 years old at the time, and he's 19 now, so it was like 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he stopped by on his campaign trail. Mm-hmm. But those are the only two that I recall.
Gotcha. Yeah. But I mean, regardless, so many things going on besides, you know, just a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And so what to you is a coffee shop's role in community building?
I think it's super important to do things that connect you to the community. And I feel like we have so many great coffee shops in town, and they're all locally owned by people who live in our community. And they all kind of do a great job. I feel like we all do a great job of, you know, hosting things within the community at our businesses. I feel like that connection through like donating to community events, you know, the joke is we get hit up so much, you know, because I think it's easy to hit coffee shops for that, you know, purpose, because you're just so visible and they're places where people frequent. So they're just name recognition wise. And then I feel like, you know, also donating your time to the community is super important as well. You know, I feel like for me personally, a community that has frequented my shop so much for so many years, for me not to want to give back to that just doesn't seem right to me. You know, it's just like it makes me happy that I'm able to do that in different ways, you know. I also feel like the hosting events is great. I love having local musicians, local artists, photographers, and it's just a great way to get to know people in town and also connect them to the rest of the community to know that they're there, you know, because, you know, sometimes people aren't aware that these really talented people are, you know, it's kind of throughout our community because it's hard for them to kind of get their names out there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And kind of speaking of connecting different, you know, folks and different populations, I have noticed that, you know, this town has kind of a unique relationship with its college student population. Mm-hmm. And I also know that I feel like I see a lot of college students hanging out at Blooming Grounds mm-hmm. a lot and working there. And do you think that it provides a sort of space for that college crowd and, you know, townies, for lack of a better word, to connect and maybe meet each other?
Yeah, I think you're right, and I never thought of it that way, you know. I think prior to expanding after the fire, we never had enough space for college kids to kind of hang out, you know, on their laptops and stuff. And it's so funny, I was just telling a customer before I got here, I'm like, I've been in business so long that when I first opened, there wasn't even wireless internet yet. So just that evolution of like people being able to sit up, like down on their laptops and work. And I love seeing people, college kids, you know, older people in the community, business leaders, they'll have meetings there. And that's so great, you know. And I feel like in our community, it's so easy to just like, you know, you might overhear somebody and be like, oh, and join the conversation, you know, that's going on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. And then, so you opened the Express location in 2017, right?
2017, yes.
Gotcha. And how has that, I guess, been going since that did open
up? Yeah, good. It's we created kind of a very different space from our downtown space. Mm-hmm. I always think of downtown as being this older building. It's really cozy, kind of has that old school coffee house, you know, darker feel to it, but warm. And it's a lot bigger, obviously. And our new space is more modern, and I created it more to have communal tables for that community feeling where you can sit six unrelated, unknowing people at a table, and they might be working on their stuff, but it offers an opportunity for them to strike up a conversation. And I like that seating arrangement for that reason, because sometimes it gets hard downtown. We'll have a table, a round table of for five or six people, and I'll have one person on a laptop sitting at it. And at a round table, for whatever reason, a person who maybe doesn't know that other person sitting at that table, it's more uncomfortable for them to like be like, oh, hey, can I sit here with you, you know? Whereas for some reason at a long table, people are more willing to sit at it, not knowing the other person sitting there. So it opens up kind of that, there's an invitation there to sit down and talk to the person that might be sitting at the table with
you. Yeah.
And it's just a, more of a fresh, modern feel, which is kind of fun. And we have the patio, which we're going to do some live music and yoga on this year. And
oh, nice.
So, yeah, trying to do some events over there now, too, as well,
cool.
Going into our second year.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So what are some of the challenges of running a coffee shop today?
I think any business today is struggling with employment. You know, there's so many jobs out there right now that people, gone are the days of like somebody staying somewhere for a lot of years. It's a lot of job hopping going on. With college kids, I think it's a generational thing. When I opened the coffee shop, I was only 27. So I was almost like a college student age. So I felt like I related to them more. Now I'm like in my middle age, I guess you could say. And so there's definitely this generation gap now that I've felt in the last few years with them. Because now they're coming in and I'm like the age of their parents, which is really odd. When I started, I wasn't, you know. But I feel like just, you know, with technology has changed so much since I've opened, and all these kids have been raised so differently than I was. And so there's really great things about that, and then there's really challenging things about that. And you know, work ethic is a little different, and expectation is very different. When I worked in college, it was like, here's your work schedule, your social life goes around it. Now it's more like, here's my social life schedule, and I can work in between all of that, you know? And that gets really hard to, especially with college kids who have these, like, I can work 3 hours here and I can work 4 hours there, schedules to fill in all the gaps to try to work around all of that, you know? And we really try to do a good job, and actually with technology is helpful because now they have all these apps and programs for scheduling people that make it a lot easier than the old like pieces of paper and trying to come up with a graph of who can work when. And you know, so I think definitely employment is the toughest piece. And then I think too, in food service, it's been hard the last few years because the cost of food has gone up so crazily. And trying to keep up with that and like where the minimum wage is going and still trying to be profitable, like that balance is tough, especially in a community where for whatever reason we seem to have kind of a lower wage community than like if you were to live in the Twin Cities, you know. And the cost of living is obviously less too, but unfortunately the food doesn't come in any cheaper than it does in the cities, you know. But you know, people kind of have an expectation that it should cost less than it does elsewhere.
Yeah, that is interesting. I saw that you guys had recently raised your prices a little bit to just cover the cost of, but I know it's covering the cost of using locally sourced ingredients, right?
Yeah.
So why is that important to you?
That's, you know, it's funny because initially when I first got into the industry, it wasn't. And slowly as I've learned more and gotten kind of educated on it, it just is important. Like we set foam containers and now we've like completely gotten rid of all of that. I just think as you learn like what good food tastes like versus bad food. And I feel like too, when people are using their hard earned money to spend it on eating out when they could choose to eat at home, you want to have the best, freshest tasting food that you can and healthy, you know. It's like, I've become kind of a real big label reader, and it's amazing some of these processed foods, what garbage is in them, you know. And it's like, people are really unaware of that. But it's funny because I remember when I first opened, we always have made our bakery from scratch. And so somebody had one of our muffins and they're like, oh, this is so good. You know, it's way better than that one I had at Quick Trip. And I was like, well, and I always used to joke around, well, we made it with love, you know, but we make it with real butter and like real ingredients. I mean, it's butter, sugar, flour, you know, it's just like basic ingredients, but they're all, you know, fresh and, you know, real. And, you know, not using stuff with trans fat and, you know, cheaper products so that you can get your margins up, you know, it's, and I want to feel good about what I serve to people. And I want them to be, leave being like, that was really good, or that tastes really good. Or, I always want them to leave happier than they came, you know, and service is part of that, but what you serve them is also a part of that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting. A really great point for sure. What would you like to see for the future of Blooming Grounds?
Oh, when I read that question, I thought, that's interesting. you know, I honestly don't know. It's funny because when I look back, when I started, I would have never thought it would be what it is now, you know? It's kind of organically evolved into what it is. I think as I love to travel and get new ideas, you know, things come up and then I kind of make some changes into different directions of where it goes organically. But, you know, I always want it to be a happy place for people. I want it to be a happy place for people to work. I want it always to be really connected to the community. And I personally always want to get up and be happy to go into work every day, you know? So, and I feel like if those things are there, then it does become a place where the community wants to hang out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That is really amazing. And then I do have to ask just one last fun question, because you said that initially you started, you know, thinking about it as more of a bakery. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite thing from the bakery cakes?
Ooh, man, that's hard, because I have a sweet tooth. And it, honestly, sometimes it depends on the week. I would say right now, my favorite thing is the almond bars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how about you?
I was like, I have no idea how I'm going to answer. I think maybe, the lemon bar maybe?
Yeah, those are good too.
That was really good. Yep. Or I had the Scotcheroo the other day.
Oh, those are always classic.
That was good.
You know?
It was amazing.
I know. It's like whatever I eat that day is my favorite.
Yep.
And I always like, you can never go wrong with a good chocolate chip cookie.
Mm-hmm. True. That's very true. That's, you know, if we can sum up your whole advice from this entire interview, just Chocolate chip cookie. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Amy Jo, for doing this.
Thanks for having me. It's fun.
Inside Winona is a product of the Winona Daily News and the River Valley Media Group. We want to keep bringing you great episodes filled with everything you need to know about the Island City, and you can actually help with that. Subscribe to Inside Winona on your favorite podcast app. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You can also rate the show and leave us a review to let us know what you like about the podcast and what we could be doing better. And finally, don't forget to share. Share this podcast, share one of our Facebook videos, share an article, or even share the print paper. When you're more informed about what's going on around you, the whole community benefits.